chapter 21. And let's read again two verses from the middle of this chapter. We'll read verses 11 and 12. Isaiah 21, verses 11 and 12. The burden of Duma, he calleth to me out of Seir, watchmen, what of the night? Watchmen, what of the night? The watchman said, the morning cometh, and also the night. If ye will inquire, inquire ye. Return, come. Amen. We'll end our reading there and trust again that the Lord will bless the reading of His Word for His own name's sake. Let's bow our hearts in prayer, asking for the help of His Spirit in our study tonight. Gracious Father, we have come together tonight to seek Thy face and to hear a word from Thee. And we ask, O Lord, that You would come and speak to our hearts. Thou alone dost know the need upon every heart gathered here. Lord, we would come and ask for Your help in dealing with our own souls tonight. Lord, I confess openly and freely, I have no power to bless Thy people, no power to minister unto them. Lord, I ask for that sacred anointing that comes from on high, that Thou wouldst come and hide the preacher and exalt Christ, that this night we would know Your help and presence and ministry here in our midst. Lord, come. Come and have Thy way in this service, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we close out another year and begin a new year, it is normal for people to evaluate the past months and to try to rectify that which was wrong in their life. Now, if for you everything in this past year was positive, all I can say is just keep going. With all your earnestness, keep going in the right direction that you have been going. But if you're like the text suggests tonight, sometimes in darkness and sometimes in the light, then perhaps what we'll be looking at tonight will be of benefit to you in your times of darkness. Perhaps as an individual this past year, you have felt more nighttime than daylight. Oftentimes in Scripture, darkness and night is associated with sin, with fear, with loneliness, with death, and sometimes with judgment. Rather than the light of the Lord's countenance, you may feel that the clouds are obscuring His favor and blessing. Maybe this darkness is felt in your family. Maybe it's felt here in the Church of Christ. Maybe it's felt in our denomination or across the North America continent. Whatever it might be, we oftentimes feel darkness. I was in a church recently where one of our ministers expressed publicly that he felt that there were trials and afflictions going on in our denomination. As he was describing those trials and afflictions, I thought, well, that's Malvern. We're experiencing many of those same trials. He then said that in Northern Ireland, these trials were going on as well. Well, there are times of darkness that come to God's people. Times of affliction, times when you would say it's night, not daytime. Certainly the Bible-believing separatist churches in America are feeling more of the night than we felt concerning the days of refreshment during the days of the awakening. What do you do when you're in the nighttime? In our text here, we have Edom experiencing her nighttime. And she's calling to the prophet Isaiah for help. You see that in verse 11. The burden of Duma, he calleth to me out of Seir. Watchman, what of the night? He calleth to me. He's calling to Isaiah. Well, watchman was not an unusual name for a prophet. You find that Ezekiel oftentimes was referred to as the watchman of the Lord. And so here you have Edom experiencing some type of darkness. Now, the name Duma is hard to pin down as to an exact location. Some think that because it sounds similar in the Hebrew to Edom, that it's a reference to Edom. It's not clear concerning that. But Seir certainly is clear that it is Edom that you're referring to. Duma certainly has a symbolic meaning. It means stillness. Some would say the stillness of death. One commentator put it this way, a night like the night of death has come over the land. The name is symbolical, for Duma means stillness, and the allusion is to the deep, utter silence of the dead. You ever felt that way? Darkness had come over, all hope was lost, didn't know how to go forward, couldn't find your way because of the darkness. This particular statement, watchman, what of the night, in the original, has a little different force to it. Let me read to you again from another commentary. He said the original translation, Watchman, What of the Night, does not bring out the full force of the original. We may more accurately render the question, Watchman, what part of the night is it? Underlying the question is the thought, how much more of the night has passed? How much more must we endure before the light of morning come? Now, there's not much difference between what I've just read and what is in our text. But our text could imply that the darkness has not yet come. You see the night coming and you're saying, what of the night? But the Hebrew would actually indicate that he was in the night, or Edom was in the night, and they're wondering, how much longer do we have to endure this? Certainly the Church of Christ today in America has many things that we could call the night. We're not experiencing an outpouring of the Spirit as we have experienced in past days. If we see half a dozen people saved in a church in a year, we think it's been a great year. They used to see 100 people saved in a day. And when we come to our nighttime, we can say, Lord, how much longer is it going to be? When will the time of daylight come? When will we see the light of your countenance shining upon us again and feel the warmth of your love and know the power of your grace? When is that going to happen? Whether your trial is as an individual tonight or as a family, or your trial may be a part of the Church of Christ, we all know different times when it is night or dark. The question is, what do we do in those times? I want to look at this subject tonight in a more of a topical sense than just going into Isaiah chapter 21. But we will spend time here in 21. Obviously, the word night here is being used in a symbolic sense. They weren't concerned of the fact that night was coming and they didn't know when the morning was coming. They were talking about something that had come upon the nation, perhaps the Assyrians who were overthrowing every country that was in their way. Perhaps they were feeling that and feeling the pressure of the Assyrians and were saying, what of the night? When is this going to end? When will we have any hope of daylight? When will all the trial and the burden stop and we'll be free again? Whatever the burden was for Edom, we certainly know times of darkness and night in our own experience. And oftentimes we feel like Edom here and cry, Lord, what of the night? How long is it going to go on? When will you bring this to a conclusion? We must respond properly to the times when it is dark or night in our lives, or we're going to be harmed by the night. We're going to see in Scripture that the night actually is something that can be good, something the Lord uses to benefit His people. But if you and I respond properly, or do not respond properly to the times of darkness, we can be greatly harmed by the night. I want us to look at this text and analyze it in light of what we know about the night and what we know of the daylight, concerning what the Scripture says. And I think we can be helped then as to how we ought to respond to the night when we find it all around us. The night, first of all, is oftentimes part of the Lord's purposes. The night is something natural. When you go to the book of Genesis, it was something God created before man fell into sin. It has always been a part of man's spiritual or physical existence. And we can say the same about a man's spiritual existence. Spiritual trials or darkness is often a part of our life. You can read church history and you don't have to read very far before you find trial after trial or darkness. And then when you go to the Old Testament, you read the saints' lives there, full of darkness at times. Same in the New Testament. Times of great darkness. The New Testament, almost every epistle that you look at, speaks about times of trial in the believer's life. Times of darkness. James chapter 1 says in verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, diverse trials. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, most of us don't consider it all joy when we fall into diverse trials. When we look around about us and we're surrounded by trials, that's nothing to bring our hearts joy. The nighttime has come, and you and I would recoil against that. And yet he is saying here that this trying of your faith is something that God uses to produce that which is good and godly in the life. Romans chapter 5, the Apostle Paul speaks of trials. And he says, not only so, but we glory in tribulations. knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. What are you saying, Paul? We glory in tribulations? Talking about a spiritual man now, a spiritual woman, who can look at the tribulation and see what's coming down the road and see the benefit of that trial, of that tribulation. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 18, he says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." In this passage, he's explaining our whole earthly existence as a time of darkness, and that the light will one day shine when we leave this existence and step into glory. 1 Peter, we find Peter saying a great deal about our trials. In fact, every chapter is dealing with the suffering of the believer. But he goes to great lengths to explain the trials and the nighttime, you could say, that comes upon the believer's life. In verse 5 of chapter 1, he says, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations," manifold trials. "That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." What does Peter say? He says, sometimes it's dark. Sometimes it's nighttime. And you're going through great experiences of trials. And those trials are purifying your faith. Let the faith be purified. God is doing a work. It's not abnormal. It's natural. It's not necessarily a result of sin or judgment. God allows the nighttime to come upon the believer's life, upon a church's life, upon a denomination's life, even upon a country. It's what you do in that nighttime that's important, not that it actually comes. We find that night is not only natural in Scripture, it's something that's universal. Certainly in the ancient world, there was no way of escaping the periods of night that fell on the earth. Even in our jet age, we still have to deal with nighttime and darkness. You might get in a plane and go away from the sun as fast as you can, or the nighttime as fast as you can, and stay in the daylight. But sometime you have to come down out of the sky, and the night's going to overtake you. No matter how hard you try in this earth, there are going to be times where you're going to be in the night. When you are going to be tried, when you're going to find that you're in over your head and you don't know which way to turn, where you can't see the end of the tunnel, you can't see which way it's going to end up. That's just the way that it is on this earth. And the Lord has made it such that you and I go through these periods of time where it's dark, where we have to rely upon Him, where we can't see, we can't know, we can't understand, apart from trusting His Word. When I was first saved, I remember talking to the man who was instrumental in bringing me to Christ. I'd been saved about a year and a half. We were getting ready to go down to the streets of Pontiac and hand out gospel literature. And I was talking to him about my own personal walk. And I was saying, you know, I just don't feel at times that the Lord is with me. I just don't feel that the Lord is near. And these times of trial come. And I began wondering, is the Lord working or is He not working? And he said something to me that has been beneficial to me ever since. He said, you know, when you're first saved, God deals with you a lot based on your feelings. But what He's going to do in your life to mature you is to move you away from your feelings and make you stand on faith in the Word of God. Believing the Word of God, even when the trials of life are denying the Word of God. Even when everything within you is saying that this isn't the right way, you can't go that path. He's going to make you stand by faith in the Word of God, not your feelings. It was interesting because the thing that prompted that discussion was I had had a time in prayer that night before we went out. And we went out, and I was convinced by my feelings that the Lord was going to do something that night, that somebody was going to come to Christ. And as I said, I'd only been saved a year and a half, didn't understand or discern much at that point in my ministry. We came back and he explained to me about not trusting feelings but trusting faith. Little did I know that a tract I had given while I was waiting for this brother to come and pick me up, a tract that I was given that I gave to a friend of my brother's, would be taken that night. And for 2 weeks, this brother, a friend of my brother's, would just read that tract. All through the school, all through the night and day, he was reading this tract that was given to him. He later confessed to me he couldn't put it down. And he came to a Bible study I was holding, as I said, 2 weeks later. And at the end of the Bible study, invited those who wanted to come to Christ to come to Christ. And the man rose his hand in public and said, "I want to be saved." He was so being wrought on by the word that he had been reading for 2 weeks. And yet, when I came back from witnessing with this brother in Christ and nothing had happened, I was cast down. My feelings were shattered. And he said, "No, you got to walk by faith. Did you call upon the Lord? Yes. Did you act in accord with the Word? Yes. And trust that the Lord has done something tonight, that He has moved." And He had. He had. We oftentimes are trusting our feelings, and when it begins to get dark out, we begin to be afraid, and we begin to doubt, and we begin to wonder. No, no. We are called upon to trust the Word of God. We're called upon to follow Him. The night is natural. The night is universal. The night is beneficial. As we said, the night was something God created in the original creation. It was long before a man would fall into sin. It was created on the very first day. It was part of the world when God said the world was all very good. And I would suggest to you that the trials that you undergo and that I undergo, that we consider to be our nighttime, our darkness, are also good for us. As we look in James 1 or Romans 5 or 1 Peter chapter 1, each of them expresses that the trying of our faith is something good. It is something that God does in our life to produce something that's going to bring more glory to His name and will more conform us to the image of Christ. The nighttime, I say, is often part of the Lord's purposes. It's not merely a judgment on sin. It is not merely something that He does because we have been disobedient. It is often something natural in our life. He allows it to come both to the individual and to the family, and at times even to a church. The second thing I'd have you to note is we study the Scripture concerning the nighttime, that the night can never stop the Lord from working. It can't stop Him. The Lord created the night. I'm not going to take you back this evening to Genesis chapter 1. But in Genesis chapter 1, the very first thing He created was that He created light. Let there be light. And then He separates the light from the darkness. So now you have darkness, and now there's a night and a day. A night and a day. Now, if He created the night, He is in control of it. Can I say this to you? Whatever the night brings to you, the Lord is not bothered by it. He has no trouble with it. He is in control of all that's going on in this earth. And there are times when the oceans of the nations are upset and the currents of the nations are being moved to and fro, and you and I feel like we're insignificant. We can't stop the nations from doing what they're doing, and we feel that we're just going to be pushed out of the picture altogether. The Lord is in control. He's the one who creates the night. He's the one who's in charge of it. We can also say that the Lord not only created the light, He's not hindered by the night when it comes. Turn, if you would, just to Psalm 139. In Psalm 139, in verse 11, the psalmist David says, "If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee." What is darkness to us is not to the Lord. And in our personal walk, when we're trying to follow Him and everything becomes dark and we can't see where to put the next foot forward, the Lord sees everything clearly. He has no difficulty. No difficulty in understanding where you're at. No difficulty in understanding what's round about you. No difficulty in understanding how you need to get from point A to point B. He has no difficulty with that at all. Now, you and I do. We're singing about God's mysterious providence tonight. And there are many times in God's providence, you and I are in darkness, and it's like the lights are all turned off and we can't see where to put the next step. Well, you're just going to have to trust Him. Wasn't that the case of Job? Job had, in God's providence, fallen on hard times. It was nighttime for Job. His wealth was gone. His health was gone. His wife was critical of him. The friends that he had were accusing him of... He had these sons of those who weren't fit to keep his dogs coming and spitting upon him and making him their taunting song. It was dark time. It was night for Job. And yet in the midst of that, Job said, "Yea, though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Easy to say, hard to do. And as you read the discussions of Job in his book, as he's speaking about the Lord and speaking to the Lord, there are times where Job is demonstrating great faith. And it's as if the darkness around him and the trials were falling away. And then there are other times when he's certainly under the cloud, spiritually speaking. And Job is complaining. And Job is wanting to argue with God. And Job is challenging God, as oftentimes our own hearts do. Do you believe the Lord sees through the nighttime when you cannot? Whatever the nighttime might be, He sees it very clearly. He has no trouble tonight. See what you and I can't see. Knowing how to go forward when we don't know how to go forward. We can also say that when we go to Genesis chapter 1, the Lord not only created the light and sees clearly in the night, but the Lord also made the day to follow the night. Oftentimes we're in the night, we think we're in the last chapter. We think nothing is going to change and we're going to die this way. We think that the Lord, He cannot help, He cannot bless. But the Lord who made the night made the day to follow. And how often it is darkest before God gets ready to move. And we can see this in church history. You can see it in the Great Awakening. If you were to take Dallimore's book down and read about the life of Whitfield and read just in that first chapter, he's describing the conditions of the land, both in England and in this country. It was a dark time. People had had the light in England, they had had the light in America, but they had turned from that light. And it was on hard times that the Great Awakening came. You say it's dark now. Well, it is. We can measure that darkness in different ways by measuring the morality of the country, or even the morality of the church. We can measure that darkness by the heresies that are accepted as if truth in our country and even in the church. We can measure the darkness by what is given to God as worship, as if He is going to accept that which is sensual and wicked and devilish. We're in dark times. But the Lord is able to make the day follow the night. You can't, I can't, but He is able. They came to Wesley and they said to Wesley, "It's dark, God can't work." Wesley's response was, "It's dark, it's time for God to work." Oh, that we had faith in knowing that the Lord is able to make the day follow the night. That He is able to shine into the darkness. He is able to help. What would it have been like for Hezekiah had he come to the throne after Ahaz and he said, "It's night, we just have to fold up our tents and go home. It's night, God can't do anything." Instead of viewing it that way, we find Hezekiah going into the temple and cleansing the temple and writing the order of worship. We find him celebrating the Passover even though the first month had come and gone and they hadn't celebrated the Passover. They found in Scripture where they could do it the second month. And so we find the great king exhorting people to come. Oh, he put out the messengers into the north, inviting those in the north to come and take part. Many of those messengers were mocked. We were mocked yesterday down at the parade by some. But you find that there are others who came. And they came and they performed the Passover, and it was said there was not a Passover like that for centuries. And they speak about God doing this suddenly. The Lord was at work. Hezekiah is said to be the greatest king of Israel as far as his trust in the Lord was concerned.
What if he had just said, well, you know, it's dark. God can't move. Could we say the same thing about Josiah? When Josiah came to the throne, he was battling the effects of an apostasy under Manasseh that lasted 50 years. Oh, I know at the end of his life, Manasseh came to Christ, he was saved, but he started the nation in a downward course, and Manasseh could not pull the nation back, even though he himself had come to Christ. His son was a pagan, ruled for a couple of years when Josiah, as a young lad, came to the throne. He was ignorant. And yet he could reason that certain things were right and certain things were wrong. And he began to try to clean up the idolatry and clean up the mess in his country. And as he, year by year, continued on to go with what little light he knew, finally there was found in the temple the Word of God. It's amazing. When you look at the early reforms of Josiah, he was doing it without the Word of God. And then when the Word of God came, he saw his own sinfulness and that they'd fallen so woefully short and were under God's judgment. You have the king taking his robes and rending his robes and coming before God with tears, asking God, what can we do? God gave a gracious reviving again under Josiah like he did under Hezekiah. The day followed the night. And a gracious move happened there as these brethren under Josiah sought the Lord. And under the ministry of Josiah, it was said of him that he was a unique king like Hezekiah. Hezekiah, there was no king like Hezekiah who trusted the Lord. But Josiah, it was said, there was no king like Josiah who turned to the Lord. You see, the nation had fallen far deeper into depravity under Josiah than it did under Hezekiah. And for them to turn back to the Lord was a bigger turning, as it were, than it was under the days of Hezekiah. I bring that up to you to say it was darker in the days of Josiah than Hezekiah, and yet the day followed the night. What can God do in this country if He wishes? You and I look at the depravity, we look at the wickedness around us, we look at the preaching at times, or that which passes for preaching, and we look at how the people who say to the people of God love the condition as it is, and you look at it and he says, there can be no change. Well, yeah, if you're looking at man, there can be no change. But tonight we're talking about the God who created the night and the day. And we're talking about the God who oftentimes allows the day to follow the night with great delight in blessing His people. Tonight, whatever night you might be in, do not throw in the towel and say, well, I'm in the night, therefore God can't help. I'm in the night, therefore He can't see what's going on. I'm in the night, and there can never be daytime again. Yes, there can be daytime. Yes, the better days can be yet ahead. God is on the throne, and He delights in showing mercy. He delights in allowing His people to see the light of His countenance. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 4. In Psalm 4, you have a psalm dealing with the moving of God. And in verse 6, you have a time of darkness. And you have the psalmist crying out to the Lord. In verse 6 he says, there be many that say, who will show us any good? You ever heard that cry? Well, it may not be expressed in those exact words. But those who are coming and they're saying, it's dark. It's going to be that way forever. It's never going to change. You're in the nighttime and it's going to be nighttime to the end of your existence. What did David cry in the night? He said, Lord, lift Thou up the light of Thy countenance upon us. That's the prayer we need in the time of darkness. The Lord can change whatever nighttime we find ourselves in. He can move and He can do a work that you and I would stand in amazement and say it could never have been done. And then the Lord does it and we stand there praising Him for what He has done. I don't know that anybody was expecting Pentecost to happen, the outpouring of the Spirit there, when 3,000 souls were saved. No, they knew the Lord was sending the Spirit. They knew that. I don't mean that. But did they expect 3,000 souls to be saved in the very city that crucified Christ?
In the very city where the upper hand over Christ was demonstrated and where the disciples fled before the multitudes, were they really expecting 3,000 souls to be saved? Were they expecting a few days later to see 5,000 people saved at the very place of the rebellion in the city, that is the temple? The temple, that's where the chief priests were. That's where the Sadducees were. That's where the scribes made their abode, as it were. And it was at the temple that 5,000 souls swam into the kingdom, as it were, swam into the net let down by Peter. The Lord often causes the day to follow the night. We can go through the times of the Reformation. We can go through the times of the Puritans. We can go through the times of the Great Awakening, the Second Great Awakening, the prayer meeting revivals in this country. And we can see that in times of great darkness, God's people came to the Lord and said, Lord, lift up the light of thy countenance upon us. Come and move again. Come and bring the daylight after the night. The night is often a means of blessing to the Lord's people. Why is it so? Well, the night drives us to the prophetic word for answers. This is what is happening in Edom. They are going to the prophetic word, or you would say here, the prophet. You'll note that the prophet is called a watchman. The watchman was one who was up high in the city, could see further than others could. He was elevated around above his surroundings. The watchman obviously was one who had experience. He could look into the night and see shadows and understand more than others might what those shadows meant. He was a man of some discernment. He knew what was real and what was not real. Tonight we have the ability to come to God's perspective on the nighttime in which we live. And we can come to the Lord and we can say, Lord, what of the night? Lord, how much longer do we have? How long before you come with might and with great blessing? Scriptures are the words of a Lord who sees clearly, who can discern, who knows what is really going on. Tonight we can go to Him and find in the Word that which will help and encourage our souls. If your night drives you to the Word, then that is beneficial. Because there's so many things driving us tonight away from the Word. Here Edom is going to the prophet, and they're asking for a message from the prophet. Now, the message from the prophet was that morning cometh, and also the night. There's going to be a time, perhaps, of light, but it's going to be short-lived, and the night is coming again. This is what you must hear. This is what you must do. This is the instruction then given to Edom in the night. Inquire, return, come. And if this night you find yourself in a time of darkness, and you're saying, I don't know which way to go, I don't know what to do, then here is our answer. Inquire. We're up before the throne of grace. Are there things in a life that need to change? No better time than tonight. Attitudes. Things that we believe that maybe we shouldn't, or things that we should believe that we're not believing? Are there things in our demeanor, in our speech, in our conduct that need to change? Well, let's inquire of the Lord and find out, what is it that pleases Him? What doesn't please Him? One of the great problems in the church today is they're not a serious inquiring of the Lord. Where people are coming before the Lord with an open heart, saying, Lord, show me what's right, show me what's wrong, I will change. Inquire. That's the message of the prophet. That's the message of the watchman. You're in a time of darkness. You don't know how much longer it's going to be. Yes, there'll be day. Yes, there'll be night. But this is God's answer. Inquire of the Lord. Come and seek Him. Find out from Him what the answer is to the problem in the life. Then we have the statement, turn. Return, as it's said here. Return. Oftentimes this idea is the idea of repentance. We have said before that there are several terms in the Old Testament for repentance. One has to do with the rending of the heart, the sorrow of the heart. The other has to do with the turning around. You're going this direction away from what God has commanded you to do, and repent, you're turning around. It's interesting that in the Hebrew, that's the same word for apostasy. You were going toward the Lord, and now you've apostatized, and you've turned around. You're going the wrong way. Inquire of the Lord, and what He tells you, let that cause you to return. Let it cause you to return. Oh, that we would have, as they used to say, a judgment day honesty. That's hard to maintain. You try it. By a judgment day honesty, we're talking about the type of honesty you would want if you knew you were standing before God today. As we stand before men, we only deal with the sins that are going to offend men. We only deal with our life as it is viewed by men. But if you were going to stand before God tonight and you knew that, how would you deal with your heart? A judgment day honesty. What is it that God wants you to return to Him from? I dare say there's probably something in all of our life tonight that we can look at and we can say that attitude has to go, that unbelief has to go, that way of living or speaking or acting has to go, and this must be the new man that I put on. Inquire, return, then He says, come. Come to the Lord for cleansing, come for restoration. How often the Lord is gracious and invites us to come. When we're weary, when we're tired, when we're worn out, when it's nighttime, He invites us to come. Turn, if you would, to, I believe it's Matthew. Matthew chapter 11. At the end of Matthew 11, we have the statement of our Lord concerning who knows the Father and who does not, who knows the Son and who does not. And in verse 27, He says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him. Hard doctrine. He's dealing with the natural disposition of man. The natural disposition of man will not know God. God has to come and make Himself known. The Son has to make the Father known. The Father makes the Son known. And then having said that, He gives this gracious invitation to His people. Come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's a dark time. Labor seems to be so heavy. You can't find any rest for your soul in the affairs of this life. He says, come unto me. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You feel that tonight? Do you feel that His yoke is easy and His burden is light? It is. If then what we are carrying is something that is more than we can bear, the chances are we've added to His yoke, we've added to His burden something that doesn't need to be there. He invites us to come and inquire, to speak with Him, and He'll tell us about the nighttime. He invites us to come and turn back to Him in the nighttime. He invites us to come, and He's got blessings waiting for us. Blessings for us as individuals. Blessings for our families, blessings for the church here in Malvern, as well as our denomination, as well as at large. The question is, in the night, will we seek Him? They were showing a measure of wisdom, that is Edom, when they were willing to come to the prophet, and they were willing to say, watchmen, what of the night? How much longer is the night? But knowing the condition of Edom's heart, that it was often characterized by pride and rebellion against the Lord and fighting with God's people, Isaiah said to them, it's going to be day, but it's going to be night again. This is what you need to know. Inquire, return, come, come. We're starting a new year. And many of us perhaps have felt that we have been in the nighttime at the end of this last year. I don't know how long the night will remain. For you as an individual, for your family, or for our church, or denomination, or this country, I can't tell you how long the night will remain. But I can tell you what to do in the nighttime. Come and inquire of the Lord who sees all things clearly. The night is no problem to Him. Return to the Lord. Whatever He shows in the life as to what you are believing or not believing, what you are doing or not doing, return to Him. And then tonight, come to Him for the grace and mercy that He offers. Tonight you say, well, I'm in the night, never been outside of the night. I'm in darkness, my soul is darkened, I'm in sin, I've never been saved. Well, the Scripture speaks about coming to the Lord in salvation. All the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I'll in no wise cast out. What is the answer for you tonight? Inquire of the Lord. Yes, you found that you're a sinner, you found that Christ saved. Then come and seek Him, return to Him as it were, and come for the forgiveness and mercy that's found in Christ. He'll receive you. But you have to come. With Solomon who said, if you're wise, you're wise for yourself, but if you scoff, if you scorn, you alone will bear it. You say, I'm in the night, I'm in the darkness. Well, inquire of Him. Return to Him and find that He will receive you when you come. Tonight you say, well, I am one of His people. And I'm in this darkness that you're expressing here. Like Edom, I can't find my way forward. What do I do? Come and inquire of the living God. Come to Him. Return to Him in any area that He puts His finger on tonight and He says you need to change that area. Return to Him. And come to Him for the blessing that He gives to His people. He can make that burden light. He can make that yoke easy. He's able to change your circumstances. He's able to give you power and grace to go through those circumstances. It was nighttime for the Apostle Paul when he sought the Lord to remove the thorn in his flesh. There was a measure of darkness that was in his life, and he wanted that darkness to be changed, you would say. And he came three times, and each time he came, the Lord said no. He said no. He said no. And then he said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. God was going to show the sufficiency of His grace in Paul's life by leaving a measure of the nighttime there and then showing the power in Paul's life to go through it. Tonight, you and I do not have to fear the night. What we have to fear is the God who created the light and the darkness. You don't need to be able to see clearly in the night if you have someone who has your hand and he sees clearly. You don't have to know what's at the end of the tunnel if you know the one who created the tunnel is leading it through the tunnel. If the one who is leading you is the Good Shepherd, though you go through the valley of the shadow of death, that darkness, you don't have to fear. Why? He said He's going to be there. His rod and His staff, they're going to guide you in that darkness. You don't have to fear. But I don't know any solution for God's people, as individuals, as families, as church or churches, in times of darkness other than this solution. Because it's only God who can take us through the night and change the night into daytime. Only He can revive His people. Perhaps like those in Edom, you're saying tonight, watchmen, what of the night? What of the night? The answer is inquire, return, and come. Let's bow our hearts in prayer. What better way to start the new year than to start it by knowing that your sins are removed and you're right with God? That darkness can be gone tonight. He can blow upon that darkness and give you eternal life. He can cause the light of the knowledge of the glory of Christ to shine in your heart. He can command it tonight. You can come into this building tonight. You could have come in darkened and under the bondage of sin and death. And you can leave tonight with eternal life. You can leave tonight knowing your sins are gone. You're on your way to heaven. Come to Christ. Inquire tonight. Return tonight. Come tonight. He'll save your soul. I'm your servant for Christ's sake. If I can help you in pointing you to Christ, speak a word to me. I'd be happy to take whatever time is necessary to point you to Christ. But I can tell you what I will speak to you in private about. It is the same thing that I've been saying here tonight. What you need is to come to Him. Tonight He will forgive you. He will cause your sins to flee from you. He will tonight enable you to be right with God. Only He can do that.
if you'll return to Him, if you'll repent and come and lay hold of Him. Tonight, if you are one of His people, God allows darkness to come into our lives as part of the natural working. It's part of the perfecting of our life. It's part of the things that He has ordained to make us strong, to make us pure, to make us more like Christ. He allows the darkness to come. But what do we do in the darkness? Are we seeking God's Word? Are we seeking God, inquiring of Him? Edom called upon the prophet. We need to call upon the Lord's Word. Lord, give us a direction tonight into the night. In the darkness, Lord, we need to know what Your mind is. Lord, we're inquiring of You. If there's sin, if there are things we need to return to, Lord, come, show them to us. Make it clear. Make the path plain before us. And then come to Him for the power and grace needed to walk on that path. Nighttime comes to us all. Trials come to us all in order to purify and try our faith. But the Lord is not trying to destroy us. He's trying to make us strong and ready for a great blessing when the daylight comes. Come to Him tonight. Come and ask for greater grace. Come and ask, is there something in my life that's not right? Lord, give me that judgment day honesty tonight that whatever You reveal, I will get rid of. Whatever You tell me I need to add, I will add. Lord, come and deal with my heart and my soul. And then come to Him for the grace and power to do that which He commands. Our Father in heaven, we come to Thee this night, thanking Thee that in our times of spiritual night, in our times of spiritual darkness, that the Lord indeed does lift up the light of the countenance upon us. He does cause us to see again something of His glory, something of His mercy, something of His power. And Lord, we ask tonight that You would help us in this dark time in this country to know something of Your great grace and help. Lord, we confess that there's much sin round about us, and it's so easy to judge ourselves based on someone else's sin. Lord, we pray that You would give us grace to judge our own sins, to judge our own backslidings, to judge our own wanderings from Thee. Lord, help us, we pray. We want all that You have for us as far as communing with Thee is concerned, as far as spiritual blessing is concerned. Give us grace tonight. We're inquiring of Thee. Give us power to return to Thee. Give us power to come tonight. May we know Your great grace even in the time of darkness. Lord, we pray for any here tonight without Christ. We ask, O Lord, that You'd have mercy upon them, that this night You would help them find their way to Christ. In their darkness, we ask that You would speak life, that You would give to them that light that they need to find their way to Christ. Lord, You're already able to save. We're thankful tonight that there's so many of us here that are saved. Lord, we pray for others who are trying this night to be free from the shackles of their sin, are trying to find their way out of the darkness of death. Lord, bring them into the kingdom tonight. Cause them to repent and come to Thee. Cause them to know Thee. Lord, give that great grace. Lord, as we go our separate ways tonight, may we go seeking Thee. May we go with confidence knowing that Thou art above the night and that one day You will cause the daylight to shine again. Lord, come and help us. Come and give us great grace. And may throughout this week we know Your power and Your ministry to us and through us, even to our generation. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.